The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Welcome, everybody, to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel, and I'm here with Alan Clark. And today, we're going to talk about marketing for startups. Everything you need to know about marketing. Marketing 101, let's say. But before we get into that, Alan, how was your week?
My week was fantastic, particularly because two of the companies that I've been working with entered our competitions called Scottish Edge, which I believe is the UK's biggest funding competition for early stage businesses, and they won. So Scottish Edge, which is funded by a bunch of high profile Scottish entrepreneurs and Scottish enterprise, gave out £1.2 million worth of funding to early stage businesses, with prizes ranging from $10,000 to $100,000 of money. Half of it is a pure grant, it's just a gift of the money. Half of it is a loan, but it's utterly invaluable to those early stage businesses that need a foot up. And it's a competition, and this time I was really delighted. I was a judge at the semi-final stage, and it is Dragon's Den. We get the info in advance, but they only have 3 minutes to make a pitch. 5 minutes of questions, and then we decide whether they progress or not. So two of the companies I worked with won their way through. One was awarded £60,000 and one was awarded £40,000.
So what are the names? Do a bit of a shameless plugging.
Shameless plugging. The first one, and I haven't seen the chap there for a while, but that's Salderson Media, who are a digital marketing agency. But the one I'm really actively working with now is a totally inspirational guy. He's a deep sea diver. He got sick to death of when he was down in the ocean, the amount of plastic there was about. He then was involved in recovering a boat that sank that was full of plastic waste that was transporting. But when it sank, all of the waste floated away. And then at the same time, he saw a story about a whale that had died in Scotland and its stomach was full of plastic. So he decided enough was enough, and if somebody was going to do something about this, it might as well be him. So what he's doing right now is making plant pots out of ocean plastic waste.
Wow.
And he's only started in January, only started selling in January. He sold about £40,000 worth of plant pots between January and now. He's got orders coming in right, left and centre. And as he rightly points out, plant pots are only the beginning. The oceans are full of plastic that he can recycle into all sorts of products.
It's interesting that. I mean, there's a whole other topic there, but I was watching this thing about one of the problems. And obviously, it's great that you're taking the plastic and doing something with it, but then the problem is you can't do anything with that plastic once it's made.
That's not quite true. Because there are other people making plant pots, etc., out of recycled plastic that is non-recyclable once you've done it. But the way that Ali does it, the way his process works, is you can then recycle his plant pots. So they are completely circular. You can take them, gather them up. All you have to do with his plant pots is chip them back into the raw material, which is little plastic beans, put them through the process and make them into something else.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. So it's interesting that you talk about Scottish Edge, because I interviewed out for the other podcast that I do, the Atom Ventures podcast. I'm a man of many podcasts. For that podcast, I actually interviewed guys from Hindsight. So they were Scottish Edge winners a few years back. And so they make glasses which are used by cyclists to help them see what's going on behind them. So they don't have to fully turn their heads around. And part of that is Callum Skinner, who's Team GB Olympian, gold and silver medal winner. So I interviewed my first Olympian. But funnily enough, he's involved in the marketing and branding as a brand ambassador for Hindsight. And that brings us neatly on to marketing for startups, I think. So, Alan, obviously you worked in marketing for many, many years. What are the initial things? Like, what do you need to do in order to prepare yourself to start marketing? What are the things that you need to do before you even embark on?
I think that's a great question, because that is the nub of the entire issue. And for me, the first thing I do with all of the companies I work with, where I'm engaged to help them with marketing, is start off with a pretty basic question. What do you mean by marketing? So, Barry, what does marketing mean to you? When you think, like, let's do some marketing.
Yeah, I always get this wrong because my marketing always ends up as sales. And so I guess really if we take the Atoms journey, what we originally wanted to do is spread the word, make sure it was awareness. I think that was the key thing that we were doing. And then I think there's a kind of a process, right? That you start with awareness and then you have the inbound
leads. Let's hold you there right now. You don't start with that.
Oh.
You end with that.
Ooh.
Is how I would recommend. I know you're right. And that is what you described there is what 99% of businesses say, which is, I need people to know what we're doing so we can sell more of it.
Yeah.
Or even sell some of it, or any of it. And that is fine. That's a business prerogative that they have to generate revenues. But marketing really starts a whole lot earlier in the process than that. Because actually what you're really talking about there is advertising, and call it whatever, promotion or digital marketing or whatever you want. In the roundest terms, it's advertising. And advertising is about sharing your message with your target customers. But marketing goes a whole lot further back than that. And I will never tire or never be and get bored of sharing the Institute of Marketing, the Chartered Institute of Marketing definition of what marketing is. And there is nothing in it about selling or getting your message out specifically. Implicitly, absolutely. But specifically what that definition is marketing is a management process responsible for identifying, anticipating, and satisfying customer requirements profitably. So it goes way back.
Yeah.
Way back to why does this business even exist? Who are the customers and what are their requirements? Because if you're not really clear on who your customers are and what the requirements they have that you're aiming to address. If you don't understand what they are now, if you're not anticipating how that will develop as time moves forward, there's very little stand still, and you're not satisfying them, at the most fundamental level, you ain't going to have a business.
So what's interesting here is that you and I have done talks on the business model canvas.
Yeah.
And obviously part of that is who your customers are, what are your key activities. But actually, I'm trying to remember now with the canvas, where does a satisfying of the needs and the measurement place itself?
I think that is implicit in it.
Yeah.
Because as you look at what their requirements are and what your offer is, you're aiming to tie those two things up. And the likelihood is, you're going to mold to them. They're not going to mold to you. Because if they need to mold to you and a competitor comes along with an offer that is better aligned to their requirements, you're not going to be in business anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit that marketing in my view, is the fundamental philosophy of customer-centric business. So it's actually having businesses that are not about them, that are absolutely driven by their customers and what their needs are. And let me throw you a couple of examples of that. Apple, Steve Jobs, the iPhone. Nobody knew they needed an iPhone until Steve Jobs gave them one, which is really a mobile connected device. Mm. It didn't really exist, and he made it available to every man. Look, at one level, he was really lucky. The other level, it was the biggest set of all time. Now did he know that that would be a win? Because he understood how people used information and devices. He understood the world of technology. And he anticipated that someone was going to invent something new that put the internet in your pocket. And he thought, well, we'll do that. And now it's Apple's biggest selling product. That was all about anticipating customer requirements and developing a product that in the moment then satisfied them. And I remember having a debate with one of my co-founders at Team Rock about a product that we were, or a service that we were launching. And I'm saying, we can't go out with the version that we have now, because we know how much better version 2 is going to be. And it's only 6 months away. But the rationale was, what we have now is the best option in the market. So why not take it out and commercialize it? Safe in the knowledge, we've already anticipated where customers will want to be, and we'll be ready to give them that in 6 months. But in 6 months, we'll also have imagined, visualized what's coming next. And the development team, the cutting edge, the creative development team, will be working on that while the completer finishers are finishing the product that we're putting into the market right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you just touched on something there, which I find quite important, because I always say to people, get something in front of the customers as soon as possible. Because you think you know, but you don't know until it's actually out there, right?
Absolutely. Well, and this is when you're an inventor, when you're anticipating customer requirements and coming up with something brand new. You know, look at the number of people that have invented products that were meant to be groundbreaking, launched them, fell flat in their face. For those of you that are old enough, I'll never forget those images of Sir Clive Sinclair on the C5.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, this is the future of personal travel, and going, the man's deluded.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember, you know, a long time ago, being a kid and seeing somebody in my local town on one as a lorry went by, and he was half the height of the wheel of the lorry. And it was, Sir Clive Sinclair might be deluded, this guy's suicidal. So, yeah. There you are. You never know. You did not anticipate a demand there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, isn't it? Because that, I think anyone who saw that product then immediately knew. I mean, you immediately knew that everything on the road is 5 times bigger than you. So you're just a bug out there.
Your point, though, of getting it out into the market as soon as you can there's two ways you can do it. One, you can take it out, and this is about fundamentals of marketing. As much as anything, using those principles. There's ways you can do that. One is you can build it and test it, but there's other marketing tools, truly strategic marketing tools that one can do. You can test a concept. You don't have to build it. And a great way of doing that, particularly in the business-to-business world, but also in the consumer world, is develop your concept. It might be a deck or an illustration. There's a great book for doing this called Disciplined Entrepreneurship, where one of the recommendations that they make is if you can't actually develop a prototype, create the advertising brochure for the finished product. And then take that to, and this may be your potential customer. So that might be the buyer of the retailer that you think will ultimately sell your product, or it might be your end customer in business to business, or it might actually just be the consumer customer. And let them look at it and say, would you buy that if it was available?
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes they'll say yes, but a lot of times they'll maybe say, I don't really see why it's that much better than what's already available. And what's available, I like the brand, it's easy to buy, is this, is that, is the other. And it might not be that straightforward.
So one of the questions I've got for you there is that obviously part of this is defining who your customer is. And I had one of those typical conversations you have with startup founders where you say, okay, who's your customer segment? Who is your key customer? And he said, well, everybody. And I said, well,
yeah, that's a your own superior.
Yeah, it's like, it can't be for everybody. And he goes, no, it can be for everybody. I'm like, well, do you have the expertise in this industry? Because it was a service-based industry. And so I said, okay, but do you have expertise in this sector, this sector, this sector, this sector? And then he said, no. So I said, well, then it's not for everybody, is it? So how do you define that? Because a lot of startups, I mean, pretty much anyone who starts a startup, right, thinks that their product can be used by every business or every consumer around the world. So when you're talking to businesses, how do you get them to refine that customer?
Think about it as having a dartboard. And actually, everywhere on that dartboard that you land a dart is a potential customer. But at the absolute heart of it is a customer for whom you are absolutely brilliantly aligned. And every step away from the middle, there is, for whatever factor or reason, a little bit of diversion from you being absolutely perfect for them. So let's start in the middle. And you know what? If we aim at the middle and we throw darts at it, even if you miss, you're not going to be that far off. Because if you blindly aim at a dartboard, you can hit anywhere. And if it's towards the extremities, actually, your product might not actually be good enough to persuade them to stop doing what it is they do. Listen, often we hear about this described as having an early stage of a startup business, identifying a beachhead market, using the old military example. If you're going to invade a country, you've got to start somewhere. So you identify your one beachhead, get there, establish that land, and then work your way out. So always, and this is another fundamental element of marketing, about segmentation. If you do believe your product is for everybody, start dividing everyone into different segments and understanding what is distinctive about each of those segments and what it is about your offer that will allow you to become their best choice. And as you do that and segment, some will become easier wins, you know, low-hanging fruit, for that rather overused term. Some of them are low-hanging fruit, others will take a bit of a battle. But ultimately, I believe we can win them, but why would we start with them and not start with the easiest options to get into?
I was chatting to a startup again this week, and they had an approach that I hadn't seen been taken for a while. And so they were a company that's developed software that sits on top of your CRM software that makes your life a little bit easier when you're handling a lot of leads in one time. And essentially what they are proposing, or they're trying to, kind of promote, is hyper focus, so that people aren't having to do 100 different things at once, right? They can hyper focus on a certain area, get that done much quicker than they would normally do. And they found that during their initial trials that they've saved people who are organizing CRM systems like 50% of their time through their software, which is great. But one of the approaches that they've taken is to actually create thought leadership, because I did a podcast on that just recently, but just more content around hyper focus and productivity. and even just drop out short questionnaires and things like that to their potential customers, who then, once they've filled out the questionnaire and understood they've understood their pain points and are able then directly to talk to their customers through that mechanism, which then says, okay, to address these 3 points, here's our product, and this is how our product addresses those 3 points.
That's a little bit like the Steve Jobs iPhone thing, where he had a relatively simple task and in delivering something brand new into the market that people didn't realize they needed until they realized they needed it.
Mm.
So what I hear that they're doing is a very shrewd little look near at, actually, let us use, in that case, a communication technique that allows us to get you to self-identify that actually we're even better than the solution you have right now. We can solve problems you weren't really sure you even had, because you had no idea there was a solution available to you. That's very shrewd. What I like to, we've only got a very short amount of time today, and I could talk about this for, I could do a whole series of podcasts on marketing. But one of the core charts that I use to illustrate the point that around marketing is an iceberg. And what I say is that bit above the water, what we all imagine, or certainly what I imagine when I think of an iceberg, is this beautiful, white, clear, crisp piece of ice sticking above blue, pristine water in the sunshine, looking absolutely magnificent. And my mind then, only then, thinks about that's only 10% of that iceberg. And the only reason that beautiful white bit sticking up is there is below the water, there's 9 times as much beautiful white ice. And let me extend that analogy for a moment. Sometimes you see icebergs that are all grey and dirty. The reality being they've ripped up the bottom of a valley somewhere before they get into the ocean. But the point being then is that looks grey and dirty. And I'll guarantee you what's below is grey and dirty as well. And the point I'm really making here is the bit above the water is what your customers see. And actually, the only reason that is up there and clear and crisp and pristine is because of the miles more of what you've done that is below the water is clear and crisp. And that is about understanding exactly who are we aiming this at. Exactly what are their requirements. Precisely how we address those requirements. And then looking further in the area of marketing around that is, how will we develop the product or service that is best aligned to their needs? And then thinking about, what's our approach to pricing here? And that doesn't just mean pounds and pence. Using another IT example, the absolute transformation in Microsoft, when it went from trying to get people to spend hundreds of pounds on an Office license when they bought a new PC, and let's be honest, most people went, how can I get rid of that?
Yeah.
So they said, we'll charge you £6 a month. He said, well, I'd rather £6 a month a pint of beer. And that keeps me up to date with everything, all those other values. I'm sure somebody many shrewd in Microsoft had pointed out that rather than trying to get one 300 quid, 6 quid every month will give us a lot more money. So that was an approach to pricing. But how do you price your product? What's your model, your strategy for pricing? And then thinking about what's the right distribution channels to push this product or service out to that particular customer group. And then thinking about, well, what collateral or evidence do we need to make this feel like a valid proposition? So that might just be about having a great website, or sometimes it's about creating fame and authenticity for your product. And then we look at other things like, well, if I'm going to do all of that, hell, I'm going to have to have the people that can do that for me. And I'm going to have the process and tools. And what I'm really rattling through there is a tool that I'm sure many people have heard of. They are the components of the marketing mix. And when you've got all of that lined up and well considered, that final bit that the public really see sticks above the water is advertising. And that is about how do you communicate all of that to those customers. And that may sound at one level incredibly simple. The reality is it's unbelievably complex. So part of the skill in early stage businesses and growth businesses is working out what really matters in all of that and doing some things really well than trying to do everything and doing it all, maybe not badly, but not as good as you could.
So I think, I mean, that's a great summary for anyone who's listening to this on how they should get started and what remarketing is. I guess my only last parting question is adaptability. So the problem I think a lot of startups face is that once they set this, it's done. It's set in stone. And then people kind of leave it behind and forget about it and don't really come back to it and analyze who are my actual customers and who did I think my customers were. So, I mean, what do you say to the businesses? You know, do you say, take a look at this every 6 months, or is it more often than that? Or how do you get into that kind of...
Whoever is the leader of the business should be thinking about it every 5 minutes.
Right. Okay.
I don't mean that in the specifics that they should have their marketing plan out and read through it every 5 minutes. But what they should be doing is thinking about who are our customers and are we doing the best we can to meet their requirements? Because in amongst marketing, there'll also be other issues about research and development. There'll be issues that sit under HR. Have we got the right team and the right people to do this really well? There'll be issues around finance. Have we got the financial resources to do this well? There'll be issues around internationalization. That's the role of the CEO, is to have the whole orchestra working together. But every one of those departments, or in a small business, every one of that section of your mind space, because you may have to be looking at them all, should be starting off with that core marketing principle of who are our customers, what is it we do for them, what are their requirements, and are we doing that to the best of our ability? I think my final wrap-up on this for today, and I'm sure we'll come back and talk about elements of this again in the future, is try not to be overwhelmed, because it is overwhelming. Because I have never in my 20-odd years hands-on at the coalface of marketing and advertising working with some massive global businesses, you know, to even the extent of a Unilever who spent literally billions of pounds every year on marketing. Nobody does everything. Mm. Everybody is strategic in their use of it. And the other little mantra that I would give there to people is play with the golf clubs you have. Play with those that are in your bag. Don't worry too much in the early days about looking for the perfect driver or the 8-iron that you don't have. Because actually, fundamentally, there's probably enough there to make progress. And if you identify that there is a club or a tool in your tool set that you don't have, look at how might I be able to borrow that by asking a friend or an associate to do it, or maybe looking to get some some skills in from a third party to help you? Or how can I develop that tool to begin to fill out my portfolio? And one of the issues around that, going back to Scottish Edge, actually a lovely link back to where we started here. In that semi-final that I judged, and this might sound a bit strange given I'm the marketing guy, but one of the things that really caused alarm to me was when companies said, we want money for marketing. Mm. Because often what that meant was, we want money to send that is simply expendable cash. Because once it's gone, it's gone. We want to buy space in advertising rather than create capital tools that you can use, be that training or whatever it happens to be, to bring that resources into the business. Because actually, most early stage businesses have got one great advantage that appears to be a disadvantage, and that is they haven't got any money. So we're going to have to be creative. We can't just throw money at it. And that applies as much in that totality of marketing. And the better and clearer you have thought through all that stuff below the waterline, the more likely that little bit that sticks above the waterline will actually attract that audience that you're looking to engage with.
Sound advice. Hopefully, I've learned, as I always do, I always learn a lot from these sessions. And I think this is a great one for anyone that is really starting on the journey of marketing. And actually anyone who's been marketing for a while and needs a reset and a rethink of how they're actually approaching it. So I think, yeah.
That's a very interesting point of view because actually so often when I go into companies that have got an established marketing team, I start them off by going, what is it we do and who do we do it for? And it's as clear as mud, and no wonder what's coming out is muddy and unclear.
100%. All right, well, thanks for that, Alan. It's been great talking to you.
My pleasure, and we'll be back again shortly with our next edition of the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. Please do, if you're enjoying this, look online. You'll find us at realworldentrepreneurshippodcast.com. But also look on your favorite podcasting platform, because we're now available everywhere. I think we're up to about 30 or 40 episodes. So there's plenty in there, plenty of points of view to share it.
Yes, so we're at about 25 episodes, actually. So not as many done as you thought we had.
Maybe it felt like 40.
Yeah, but we're getting there. This is number 26.
Okay. Bye for now.
Cheers. Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.